Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm 97, verse 12. Psalm 97, verse 12. Psalm 97, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you for the wisdom, Lord, and the understanding that you give to us. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. So Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you that it is your will to build your church for your honor and glory. And Lord, to use us, imperfect human beings, for your honor and glory. What a blessing, what a privilege that you've given to each and every one of us. And to know that it is your will to open up our understanding that we might follow you. And the only thing needed to do to do that is just simply to seek you, Lord, and you've promised that we would find you. Speak to our hearts tonight. Open up our understanding that we might have a better understanding of your will for our lives and how you empower our lives to glorify your name. Bless and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, really, the title of the message is simply, "Give Thanks at the Remembrance of His Holiness." And this really does a work in the hearts and minds of God's people. So when God said, when God asks us to do something, it's for our good. It really is. The flesh might receive that differently, but we can put our faith or our trust in the Lord that everything He does for us is for our good. And so really, in a nutshell, what we're looking at here is God's work of encouragement. Every time, listen, when He asked Peter to step out into the boat, launch out into the deep, the Lord knew he was tired. But the Lord had a blessing in store for Peter, didn't he? He had something that he wanted to give to him that no human being could give to him. And boy, oh boy, how didn't he get it, right? So listen, God has something for us as well. Every time we come to his word, he has more understanding, more wisdom of the work that he wants to do and has already done through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, through our salvation, for our well-being, and for His glory. And so we want to take a look at three thoughts here tonight. And that is a word of encouragement, a word of warning to God's enemies, and then a word of deliverance. And, you know, even the word of warning to God's enemies is a blessing because they're getting an opportunity to say, "Hey, listen, judgment is coming, repent. And be saved." Wow, what a blessing really for God's enemies. Listen, the end is not going to go well for you if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. If you're counting on something other than the grace of God, you're in trouble. And God is saying, fix that. Amen? Change your mind. Repent and say, here's the hard part. I'm wrong and God is right. Right? That's just the way it works. If God's word says something different than what we are doing for the Lord, who's wrong? We are wrong, right? Not the Lord. We're the ones that are wrong. And by the way, listen, did Peter ever make any mistakes during the Lord's earthly ministry? Absolutely. The other disciples did as well. And so that happens in our lives. Don't get frustrated with that. God is pleased. Listen, God is pleased because he loves us to work with us to bring us around to the truth. And here's what he's trying to do. Here's what he's wanting to do. It's his will. He wants us to understand that we have to take our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes on him. Isn't that the bottom, the whole crux of the whole matter concerning our walk with the Lord? Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put them on the world. Don't put them on the flesh. And don't, for sure, don't put them on the devil. Amen? And the devil's making a big scene in the day and age in which we live. But God wants us to look to him, and we can have great hope and great joy in the Lord. So let's consider a couple of things here, and let's look at a word of encouragement in the first two verses of this psalm. So go to verse 1 here in Psalm 97, and notice what it says here. "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice." Isn't that good? Listen, because the Lord is in, because he reigns, he is in control. We don't have to worry about what the, listen, there's a lot of bad things taking place in the day and age in which we live. I don't understand how people, I'm telling you, you hear people just him-hawing around all these people at all these universities that are chanting against Israel and wanting for the wanting Hamas to be victorious, and they're chanting all of this stuff,
And there are even people that are in front of the, like the, in charge of the Homeland Security. They have people that work for them in our government that were posting these terrorists and gliders coming in on their internet page, celebrating what Hamas did to Israel. And the head leader there was being questioned about that. And did you fire her? Is she still working? And she is still working. And she posted this. And we are just diluting the craziness that is going on in our day and age. But in spite of all of that, God is in control. But may we not put our eyes on what man is doing, but may we put our eyes on the Word of God. So he says, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. So the Lord reigns, and because the Lord reigns, rejoice. Amen? The Lord reigns. Everything's gonna fall in place. Everything is in place, even though things are out of sorts as far as righteousness goes. But God is allowing this time. And I don't understand exactly everything the way that the Lord works, but one day God is going to make every wrong right. Do you believe that? Amen. Everything that is wrong, God is going to make it right. And so he says this, verse 2, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Isn't that good? We can just know that God is righteous, and that is ruling in the kingdom of heaven, and that will one day take place throughout all of creation, and that's going to be an amazing time. So what is the Lord doing really in all of this? When you think of Hitler, and you think of Joseph Stalin, and you think of all these Marx and Lenin, and all these people that were so anti and adamantly against God, you know what God was doing? He was being merciful. Do you know what he's doing today? He's being merciful, and he's waiting. He's waiting and waiting until the judgment day where he will fix everything. But in the meantime, he's also working in your life and mine to draw our hearts to him, and that we would give our hearts to him and not to the world and not to ourselves and not to the things that are passing away that are temporal, but to our God who has purchased it and rightly deserves our heart. So we find a word of encouragement. And then notice number 2, a word of warning to God's enemies. Look at verse 3. Fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. The Lord showed many times his deliverance to the people of God in the Old Testament, didn't he? Many times he showed his deliverance, and the enemies, listen, when Israel was released from Egypt, when God freed his people, the whole world knew, didn't they? They heard, and then all of a sudden, you know, when the walls of Jericho came down, everybody knew and had feared, whether they respected him or reverenced him or not, they knew that there was a God in Israel that fought for Israel. So this warning, again, is a blessing to God's enemies to repent and to his people to know that God is just, even when it doesn't make sense to us. And that may happen more often than maybe we care to admit, but it's okay. God's in control. Look what he says concerning his judgment here in verse 4. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images. Did you hear that? Listen to that. Verse 6, he says, the heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. But then he says, condemnation, confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship him, all ye gods. All these people that have gone astray after the false gods, he's saying, hey, listen, God's not concerned that went to the critic that says, well, if there was a God and this, that, and the other, do you know that doesn't bother God? Do you know the Lord is not saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe they think this about me? Do you know before they were ever even made, God knew the path. God knew everything that was going to take place. God is not worried about a single thing. And if we are a child of the Lord, that ought to bring us comfort. Amen. If God's not worried and he's got everything in his hands, boy, oh boy, we ought to be on top side. And I know that sometimes that's easy to be said, but that's the faith part. Lord, even though my world gets flipped upside down, you're my anchor. And what is that anchor that God holds us in his hands even when it doesn't make sense? And there are many times that it doesn't make sense, but praise be to the Lord, he's going to make every wrong right. And one day we will see things that we did not understand here on earth, and we'll understand better the love, the mercy, and the grace of God that he has given to his people and to all those that would come to him. Isn't that crazy? You can have somebody be the most foul, fiendish individual, and if they repent and turn to God, God will receive them. You can have people that could be the most ungodly, blasphemous individual, and if they will repent and turn to the Lord, amen? Is there any other God like that? Oh, listen, what about this God, and what about that? They are no gods. They are no gods. And so God is the one and only God, and he wants us to know that he's the one that's in control. And so we find all these good things that the Lord does. And then I want you to notice the last part here is a word of deliverance. Look at verse 8. Zion heard, and these are the people of God, the God's covenant people, all right, which you and I are part of as well. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Amen. So now he's telling us, here's the word of God. If you love the Lord, then God says this is what we're to do. If we're filled with the love of God, let me ask you this. Is loving God tied to believing God? Is loving God tied to believing God? It is tied, isn't it? Okay, so with that thought, listen to this. Verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. So if I love the Lord, I ought to believe what God's word says and hate evil. I should give it no quarter. I should give it no room. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. He delivers us out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and notice, and gladness for the upright in heart. You know, more than ever before, we ought to be seeking God like never before. We ought to be persistent in our desire to call upon our God. Listen, the world would have us not pray. The devil would have us not pray. Do you know why? Because, listen, here's one that you'll agree with me if you didn't agree with the other ones. The flesh doesn't want you to pray. You believe that? The flesh. You're in good company if you pray and 1 minute felt like 1 hour. You're in good company. If 5 minutes felt like 2 hours, you're in good company. Pray anyway. Because God commanded it, and he said, I will honor that. And they that wait upon the Lord will receive his blessings. They're the ones that will overcome. You know what we're saying? Lord, this is hard. This is hard on my flesh. I don't feel like doing it, but I trust you, and you've called me to pray, and so I love you. I'm going to obey. We just need to do what God has asked us to do that's within our grasp, amen, and let the Lord do the rest. So, Lord, I'm going to make time to get alone with you. Can you pray in the car? Yes. Can you pray anywhere? Yes. But make a time in the morning, it's good to do it in the morning, that you would set an extra 5 minutes in the morning for God alone. Sometime when you're not going to be disturbed or disrupted, that you get alone and you say, God, I need you to give me a prayer life like you had. I want to get caught up, and you know what's going to happen maybe? The first time or two, you might fall asleep. You might fall asleep. Just in case you wondered, I've done that. All right, Lord, I'm gonna call upon you, and next thing I know, maybe I make it 5 or 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, you know, what happened? You know, well, that's what happens when you get up when you're not used to getting up. But let me ask you this question: does God see my effort in taking him at his word? And they that wait upon the Lord and wait for him to answer, those are the ones that honor God. So just because I don't get the results that I think I ought to have, Should I stop praying? Oh, listen, you don't understand. It's so hard to pray. I don't know if God's hearing my prayers. Is that how the work? Or should I pray because God said, pray and call on me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not? Can God show, can the infinite, all-wise, all-knowing God that knows an infinite amount more of information than we will ever know, can he surprise us? Can he still, are you too old for God to show you something? In other words, you know, oh, if I was a younger person, maybe I'd take you up on that. And I only think that because I know people, you know, the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I'm not an old dog in the eyes of God. Amen. and listen, you and I are his children, and God wants to prove himself if we will prove the Lord. He wants to show himself that he is faithful and that he will do good things beyond our expectations. Don't go on, well, I've done that before. Just do it until God answers. Amen. Call upon the Lord. What is 5 minutes? 5 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it is. Call upon the Lord on a daily basis and say, Lord, give me the strength, God. Lord, praying is hard on my flesh. I fall asleep. Tell it whatever the problem is. Lord, I don't want to just sit there and feel like I'm talking to my chair. Amen? I don't want to feel like I'm just praying into my pillow. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to have that kind of vibrant relationship that you have promised in your word to all of your people. And I want to follow you, God. I want to give myself to you more than to anything else, because everything else is going to be done away with. It's going to be gone one day. All of these things, they won't matter anymore. The only thing that will count in eternity is what? God. Our relationship with him. You know, listen, Jesus might come back before you retire. Some of you say, well, I'm already retired. Well, Jesus might come back before your retirement runs out. Amen? Your retirement, my retirement, won't mean a whole hill of beans. Is that what they say? In eternity, it won't matter, will it? May we take things that are of great value to be of God, and may we seek our relationship with him. So look at verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. That's us. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. That's us. Light is sown for the righteous. That's us. And gladness for the upright in heart. That's us. And by the way, may we walk upright in heart. May we not be taken by the things of this world that are passing away. So the last thought, verse 12. Because of all that, he says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. God's calling you and us, you and me, righteous. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know what that means? God brings people to the place of worship. You know, God wants to give you and me a reason for worship. Can he do that? Do you know that there are things that God, like that, can overcome in our lives? We can't, but he can. Have we quit bringing those things to the Lord because we can't do it? Shame on us. Shame on us if that's the case. Because God's not asking us to do it. God is asking us to bring, Lord, you have to do this for me. And here's the faith part. Thank you, God. Not I hope you will do it. I think you will do it. Oh, I hope you do it. No, no, no. Thank you, God. I'm walking in that truth today. And watch what God will do. And watch if he might here's what'll happen. He'll give you the victory, and you'll enjoy it. And we're like Peter, right? We'll get our eyes off the Lord and we'll start looking at the storms and we'll begin to sink. But God didn't fail. Remember the hour or the 2 hours that God put your heart and your mind in the place to where you were upright with the Lord. And give him the praise. Yes, Lord, you did give me that victory. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask you to do that again for as long as I can keep my eyes on you. And by the way, Lord, help me to keep my eyes on you and help me to never put my eyes on myself and what I could do or should be doing for your honor and glory. You'll never get the glory of God. Listen, I'm not putting on a show. God is faithful. Amen? God can do great and mighty things in your personal life to give you excitement and to cause you to worship the Lord throughout the whole day. Truly, God, you are holy. Who am I, Lord, that you have saved me from all of the... You've opened up my understanding. You've opened up my eyes to see the truth and not to be blinded like the world that is going to hell faster than they even realize. And you have saved my soul. And if you can do that, praise your holy name, you can do everything else that you have promised. So... the Bible says, give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. It is His holiness, not ours, that redeemed us. It is His holiness, not ours, that has placed us to be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Bible says many are the thoughts of God towards His people, towards His saints? Many, they're innumerable is the whole idea. You know, God, is God for us? Is that what the Bible says? Does that, is us you? If He's for us, believers, is He for you? So what is causing you and me not to receive the blessings? Is it me or is it God? It's us, isn't it? We're the only ones. Because if God's for us, nobody can be against us. We're on the winning side. That's the faith part. Do you believe? Listen. Is loving God tied to believing God? Then believe God. And love Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, and enjoy the salvation that God has given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word, for the reminder that You bring to our hearts and minds as we consider the salvation that You've purchased for us, and the promises that You've given to us because of the salvation You've given. Lord, may we walk in Your wisdom and not the world's and not our own and not the flesh. Bless, Lord, as we break off for prayer, and may You do a work that only You can here at Northwood Baptist Church amongst Your people, that You will make us to be the light and the salt of the earth that You've called us to be, and that the world might see the difference, not just hear our words, Lord, but that they would see the difference that You make in our lives. Bless again, Lord, as we break off for prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.